Remember the days when you could get a Lyft or an Uber, sometimes in as little as 2 minutes? Those were the pre-pandemic days when many drivers were available. But now many of you are asking, where is my Uber? And why is it so expensive? Drivers are feeling this crunch too. They aren't getting a big cut of those higher fares. Jonathan Panzer is a Lyft driver in Austin, Texas, and he joins us now. And Jonathan, when I spoke with you last year, you were driving for Lyft full-time after losing your job in a nonprofit sector because of the pandemic. Now you're back into nonprofit work and you're actually still driving, just less. How has the experience changed over the last year?
Well, since we last spoke, I believe in September, it's actually gotten very much, much busier, not surprisingly. Demand is definitely up, especially in Austin. And income was up. Actually, I got a job back in May, but in March, April, and May, I was averaging in the low 2000s a week for really good money down here. And even though I have a full-time job working for a nonprofit, I still am driving because Austin has become so expensive over the past couple of years that you have to have multiple jobs if you're working in the nonprofit sector.
Uber and Lyft have been dealing with this driver shortage throughout the pandemic. But it's really coming to a head now that more people are going out, as you're seeing directly as you're out on the road. As a driver, what is the experience like? Are you feeling this rush when you're out on the road?
Absolutely.
There are times, certain days during the week, especially Friday through Sunday, where you could basically go nonstop for 6 or 7 hours without having a break. Either you have somebody in your car or you're going to get somebody, which is great because you're maximizing your earning potential. You're not burning gas. You're not wasting time looking for a ride, but it's also exhausting because you don't have a break. You have to be on the entire time. And you also have to deal with the passengers who sometimes, unfortunately, don't realize that there's a pandemic still going on. And you have to kind of negotiate and navigate that system as well.
The driver shortage plus skyrocketing demand means that fares are also going up. We know that Uber decoupled driver earnings from the price customers pay at the start of the pandemic. Lyft actually did that back in 2016. Have you talked to other drivers? How are they feeling about all of this? And how are you feeling about this? It sounds like you are actually making good money at this time, but it is a stressful time for those drivers who drive full time.
Absolutely. And I will
say this as somebody who needed to get a Lyft this past weekend after the Austin FC soccer match. It took me an hour and a half to get a ride. And I can definitely feel the frustration, especially the evening drivers and the evening passengers. At the end of the day, what the customer pays isn't as relevant to me as how much I make per ride. And if I feel like that's a justifiable rate, then as a driver, I have to look at that and say, you know what, that's okay with that. You can always ask the passenger what they're paying, and then you can show them what you're getting. You kind of figure it out from there. But at the end of the day, a driver has to look out for the driver. And as much as we want to take care of our passengers, it's a job and we need to look after our bottom line.
Will you continue driving Lyft?
Oh, absolutely.
The money is too good, and I work in the nonprofit sector. I did start my own company, a tour company in Austin, but I will always drive with Lyft just because, especially in Austin, how expensive the city is getting, and it's pushing more and more of us native Austinites out. I need to do what I can to survive. I haven't had a day off since the day before MLK Day last year, so it's been a long grind. But if this is the only way that we can survive in town, then we got to do what we got to do.
That's Jonathan Panzer, a Lyft driver in Austin, Texas. Jonathan, I'm so happy to hear this update from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's great to hear from you too.
Well, let's take a deeper look at the state of Uber and Lyft with Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hey, Robin.
Hey, how are you?
I am well. Nice to talk with you. Well, as we heard from Jonathan, some Uber and Lyft drivers are feeling the stress of this higher demand. Why are ride-hailing services having such a hard time keeping up?
You know, as you and I have discussed in so many prior segments, there's been no shortage of unhappiness in this neck of the gig working woods. I have personally never met an elated Uber driver. You know, you're weighing the benefit of choice and freedom and self-determination. That's being counteracted by the app as a boss, and it wants its cut. Too often without actual HR benefits. Add to this a year of having to share tight quarters with, you know, as Jonathan said, unmasked passengers, their surging gasoline costs, and general rust and malaise from the pandemic year. And you have a harder time meeting the snapback in demand that we're seeing all across these cities in the economy's broad opening. I think a lot of drivers are reluctant to go back to the old status quo.
Is there also this worker demand problem in this industry? We've heard about industries like restaurants and retail struggling to bring workers back. Is that the same case here?
I think it's analogous. Whether you were let go last spring or took time off to ride out, you know, contagion or the economic demand fallout, you're now coming back, you know, sometimes with enhanced unemployment benefits, wondering if you want to sign up again for that pre-COVID service hustle. In parallel, drivers could be recalculating the cost of their time and really waiting it out for a bigger cut of the take from Uber and Lyft. And many report that the apps are just being too slow and stingy with paying up.
Okay, let's talk about these prices. They have been ridiculously high lately. Some people are paying double what they used to, and cancellations are up because people don't want to pay more. Why are we seeing this surge in the amount that we pay?
There is not enough drivers to meet this snapback in demand. And within that is this vicious cycle of sticker shock and cancellations from users, and then more frustration for drivers who are rethinking whether they want to be in this at all. The research firm Rakuten Intelligence found that the cost of a ride was 40% higher in April than it was a year ago. The apps have been throwing bonus tier incentives at drivers, you know, current and prospective, but they've yet to successfully match demand and supply and bring those prices down. Last month, Uber said that it had 3.5 million active drivers and couriers during the first quarter of 2021, and that's down 22% from the previous year.
Hmm. Can you also explain for us this uncoupling from the price the customer pays and what the driver gets? Help us understand this.
The driver's boss, the app, is, in short, it's taking the bulk of the cut. One Uber driver in Memphis, Tennessee, told The Guardian that his experience over a couple of years taught him, for example, if you take a $10 ride that is surge priced to $30, it will only yield him an extra $2 or $3. And, you know, maybe the passenger in there is sitting and saying, I don't have to tip more because this guy is getting twice or three times as much from what he would normally get. And the quote that he gave at the end of the day, he's only recouping 6 cents over the federal mileage write-off. Too often, these drivers complain, they can't even see what the passengers are paying. So it sometimes helps, as Jonathan says, to have that conversation with your passengers. If people, you know, you're talking about other things such as education and your aspirations for your kids and their kids. Maybe if there's more pricing transparency and compensation transparency, a lot of users would pay more, demand that the apps pay the drivers more to begin with.
What is the latest with that larger push that we've had previous conversations about and getting workers to become declared employees? I mean, after the pandemic, where are we with that specific push?
It's still so uphill. You recall in November when California voters passed the very contentious and heavily TV ad-driven Prop 22 to exempt app-based gig workers from employee rights such as unemployment, health insurance, minimum wage, and collective bargaining. Uber, Lyft, and other gig companies threatened to shut down operations in the state of California if they were forced to treat these gig workers as employees. And the drivers, many in California, have since reported deterioration of conditions and take-home pay. Can it happen in New York, where at the same time taxis are in crisis and there's no love lost from taxi drivers toward Uber drivers? Can you see it happen in maybe more blue, labor-friendly constituent bases? I mean, that's a hugely open question.
What about taxi drivers? They've lost so much business to these ride-hailing services over the years. Are they positioned to step in to offer rides?
Shed many tears for taxi drivers and medallion owners and renters of medallions. A record number lost their livelihoods during the ascent of Uber and Lyft, and it didn't help that so much of commercial Manhattan, for example, was mothballed during COVID. If you take New York City, before the pandemic, there were more than 10,000 yellow cabs in the streets every day. That tanked to less than 1,000 in April 2020 in the thick of the contagion. And it's only come back to about 3,500 per day. You still hear stories of distress among drivers and their families who are barely driving, sometimes at or under cost, just to service the obligations on their medallion. So I imagine that you're going to hear more and more about bailouts for taxis that have been beleaguered, not just by this pandemic, but by the technological disruption of Uber and Lyft, which in turn are seeing driver rebellion. So it is quite messy out there.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the incentives with a little bit of time I have with you that the companies are offering to their drivers to stay on the road, specifically Lyft and Uber?
Yeah, they've had to shell out some cash bonuses for drivers or for referring new drivers. Uber in April said it would earmark an extra $250 million to pay driver incentives in the near terms. Uber's drivers in Chicago, Philly, and other cities are now making what they can say is more than twice the hourly minimum wage before the new incentives. But how permanent are these sweeteners going to be when Uber and Lyft are both under significant pressure to be profitable? I think this is a true reckoning for kind of, you know, my cut of the wages, what you're seeing in parallel in restaurants, in stores, and others. I don't want this just to be hero pay or some pandemic bonus. You need to pay me and keep paying me.
That's Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. As always, thank you so much, Robin.
Likewise, Tanya. Thank you.